us, and you know, there's so many problems around the world that we could talk about, but I'll tell you what, we serve a God who's still in control. Amen. He knows what's going on. He's not surprised by anything that we're seeing. And I know sometimes we think, oh boy, where's God in all of this? But we know that in Scripture, that prophecy tells us that in the last days, that we're going to see all of these things take place. And so don't be surprised. Just trust the Lord and say, you know what? God is with us. God's going to make a way. And we don't have to worry. Amen. Our trust is in the living God, not in man. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you folks today again. And I'm sorry to hear that that the candidate that you had hoped would come took another assignment. But again, we know that God still knows all about this. He knows exactly what you need as a congregation. And I believe that He's got someone out there for you. And if pastors are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they'll go where God tells them to go rather than what size of a community, what size of a congregation, or the pay package is. Amen? You believe that? I found that to be true over the years. And I tried my very best to always be in the will of God rather than my own desires. And you know what? I have been so blessed because when you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter how great the storm is around you. You know you're in the best place in all the world because you're in the will of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess you can go home, right? Okay. Well, today I want to preach to you about bruised reeds in our world. We have a lot of people that are struggling, and there's just so many problems that they're facing and they're going through, and sometimes it's just overwhelming. But I want you to know there's always hope. And this morning I'd like you to stand just one more time for the reading of God's Word, and I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42, and we'll begin reading verses 1 through 4. And this is a reference to the Messiah's mission when He comes. So this is a prophetic message here. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope. You may be seated. Father, I pray in these moments that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about each one here in the sanctuary, but it's all about you. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reach down and touch each one of our hearts as we listen to the Word of God. For, Lord, we know that you desire the very best for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, help us to take to heart what your Word tells us today. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, there's a story about a young shepherd boy who happened to be down by a pond, and he was watering his sheep. And he saw there a lot of cattails. Many of you have seen what cattails look like. And so he cut one down, and he began to whittle away on it. And he wanted to create a little flute. And so as he got done with it, he put it to his lips, and he started to blow on it, and to his amazement, he was able to play a little tune on it. And he was so delighted about that, and so every day while he was out tending his sheep, he would play that flute. Well, one day they decided to go back down to the pond, and while they were down there, he happened to bend over to get a drink of water, and he didn't realize when he bent over that little flute had fallen out of his pocket. Maybe you've heard that story. Well, at any rate, they left, and after he got quite a ways away, he reached in his pocket to play that little flute again, but it was missing. And went, oh no, I spent all that time on that flute and my tracks, and go back to where I found the cattail to create this flute. So he went there, and sure enough, he found it, but when he went to pick it up, he saw that evidently a larger animal had come down to water and had stepped on that little flute and just crushed it. So he looked at it to assess, you know, the damage, and he realized it wasn't going to be any good, so he picked it up and he broke it in half and he threw it into the water, and he walked away. Well, there are a lot of people today like that broken flute in our world, and who have just lost the music from their lives. There are some people who have been broken by personal sin, as you find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, where it's lying and cheating and stealing, fits of rage, hatred, division, jealousy, selfish ambition, idolatry, and some were troublemakers. And their sins have caught up to them, and they don't know how to deal with it, and their lives are just seemingly being destroyed, and they don't really know what to do about it. And isn't it interesting that so many people, when they have problems, they seem like they always go to all the wrong places to find help, when in fact, Jesus is the only real solution to life's problems. I mean, I realize that if you have a fender bender on your vehicle, you're going to have to go to an auto body repairman. That's what my dad did. He fixed cars. He owned his own shop for years. But, and I understand those kind of things, but what I'm talking about is the spiritual needs of people and dealing with the sin in people's lives. Oh, I tell you, it's so important that we know where to go. I know there are some people who are broken by burdens of grief and sorrow. They've lost a parent or a child or a close friend, and or life just hasn't been fair. And I know there are some people out there, boy, life really hasn't been fair to me. You know, and they walk around with a chip on their shoulder, and life is tough. And some are broken by anxiety and cares. I mean, the finances and illness and relationships and those kinds of things are just overwhelming them. Some are broken by failure, like at school or on the job or marriages or morally. And everyone I know has dealt, everyone here has dealt with and can identify with failure. We've all experienced some failure at some point in time in our lives. But I want you to know, you don't have to stay there. Praise the Lord. Because if you seek God and ask God to help you, and you have a little initiative, after God touches your life, God can bless you and pour out his blessing upon you, and he can help you and strengthen you and give you what you need to be an overcomer to the glory of God. My own personal definition of Christian is overcomer. And when you stop to think about that, in order to serve the Lord, and be victorious, you are an overcomer over a lot of things in this life. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. And the beautiful thing of it is that regardless of how difficult life might be for you, that he will walk you through every step of the way. Amen. He will not desert you in the middle of it. I thank God for that today. God is so good. God is so faithful. I know also that there are some people who have been bound by drugs and alcohol and the occult and sexual sins. And I know that over the years I've dealt with people who've struggled with those things. And I can say with confidence this morning that if you have that kind of a problem and you want to be delivered, God can deliver you from any of those things. I've seen him do it. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Even the demon possessed, I've seen God deliver him. Praise the Lord. That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with who God is and what he can do. Praise his name. Well, the question shouldn't be, you know, how did the reed get bruised, but rather, what can we do with them after they have been bruised? And more importantly, what will the Savior do with these bruised reeds? Well, in John chapter 10, verse 10b, the second part of that 10th verse, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus has no desire to finish the destruction of your life. He's here to build your life and to strengthen it and help you to rise above what you're going through. You believe that? You know, there's a lot of people who go to church every Sunday, but they don't believe. They say they believe that God can do anything, but when it comes to actually praying and asking God to do those things and to believe that God can and will, well, you see it all around. Pretty sad to call yourself a Christian and not believe that we serve the Lord of the impossible. We do. You ought to rejoice in that today. Amen. Cause everyone here to shout and say, praise the Lord, God is so good. Amen. You get a little excited about the Lord sometimes? Amen. Oh, I tell you, you know, we get excited. Man, my Yankees. I tell you, you know, I had such high hopes. I even prayed for them. Nothing helped. And they got wiped out. And not just, it wasn't even close. And, but I'll tell you what, you ask my wife, I got a little excited. Whenever they'd score a run, I said, woo, yes! Amen. I didn't say amen, but I was thankful. You know, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth because we know the living God. And He's the one who can solve any problem. Amen. That ought to give us all hope tonight or today. Yes. Well, getting a little off my notes here, just a little, but I you know, sometimes get inspired. Isn't it good if a preacher gets inspired once in a while? Amen. Amen. I want you to know today that this little shepherd boy, he snapped his reed flute in two and he threw it into the pond. But I want you to know that Scripture teaches us that Jesus won't do that to us. Whatever your problem is, He's not going to throw you away and say you're of no value anymore. No, sir. Thank the Lord for that. Jesus will restore us if we ask. You have to ask. You have to realize you have a need. And usually, if everything's going haywire in your life, you know you need some help from somewhere. And the right place to go is to Jesus. Amen. We call Him the great physician or healer. And if that is really true, then can't he restore a bruised reed? Oh, I tell you, I've seen so many people whose lives have been destroyed, and they had no hope until they came to Jesus, and Jesus gave them hope, and God came into their lives and transformed them. It's not reformation, it's transformation that happens when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Isn't that something? He changes the desires of our heart so that we want what God wants for us. Amen. Oh boy, I better not get started. But I want you to know that God can restore the broken, bloody, bruised, messed up people in our world if they'll come to Him. And He will give them the abundant life. Jesus gives us an example in Luke chapter 15. You probably are familiar with the story about the prodigal son. Verses 11 through 24 of the 15th chapter. In verse 13, there was a young man whose life was nearly perfect. And he went away and wasted all that he had, living a wild and crazy life. Sound familiar to some people? You've probably seen some of those. In verse 14, he said, after spending all that he had, he found himself in a very desperate situation. He ended up taking a job feeding pigs. In verse 16, he became so hungry that he began eating the corn husks the pigs left behind. That's pretty desperate. Scripture tells us that though he was in great need, and this is important to hear, no one attempted to help or give him anything. I want you to hear that. In his desperate need, there was no one who attempted to help or give him anything. He was on his own. He'd messed up his life, yeah. You know, there's some people out there who say, well, he's just getting what he deserves. Well, that's probably true, but thank the Lord, God doesn't look at it that way. He said, you know what? I know you deserve hell, but I want you to know that I love you. I love you. And I want to make a difference in your life. You'll just give me a chance. True. Well, he was broken. He was rejected and tossed away by his society. That happens a lot in our society today, even today. But here's the best part of the story. It says that he finally came to the end of himself and he came to his senses. And in verse 17, he remembered that all of his father's hired help had plenty to eat and all their needs provided. All the great things he left behind. And so in verse 18, he decided to go home to his father to ask for a job as a hired help rather than come as a son. But in verse 20, it said, instead of rejection, he found a father who had compassion on him and had been looking for him every day since he'd left. I want you to know, wherever you are today, spiritually, and if you're lost and without God today, I want you to know that God's looking for you. And if you're in this service today, don't know Jesus as Savior, you're not here by accident. God is looking for you specifically because he wants to talk to you. He wants to awaken your consciousness of him and what he can do for you. Amen. Whew. I get blessed every time I think about it. The needless pain we go through because we simply refuse to look to God. And so when his father saw him coming down the road, he started running towards him and gave him a huge bear hug. That's the nearest translation. And then he had his servants get out the best name brand robe and sandals on the market and put a ring on his finger which symbolized sonship. The bruised reed had come home and been mended. Thank the Lord. You see, our Savior can deal with bruised reeds and with us when we have been beaten up by our sins and our sorrows and our cares of life. God's word says in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, I like this, I will search for the lost and bring back strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. What an awesome God. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what you've done, God is there and he loves you. He says, come on home, man. I can help you. Praise the Lord. Well, there's some people who have been blown by the wind. That's the final point. God's word speaks of another kind of reed. If you go back to the Meadow Marsh where the shepherd boy first started out and he carved that little flute, there on the edge of the pond stood a whole cluster of reeds and cattails. I can remember as a boy, there's a farmer friend of ours, and they had a slough out there, and they had cattails and that sort of thing. And one of the things I noticed about it, those cattails, they just blew in the wind every which way the wind blew. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are just like that. It's whatever the latest trend is or whatever the latest, you know, popular idea is, they go that direction. In essence, what they're saying to the world is, I don't have any backbone. I'll tell you this, God will give you a backbone to be a real man and a real woman if you'll give your life to Him. I remember when I was fighting forest fire that one summer, and up in northern Idaho, and occasionally we'd be by a mountain stream, and we'd take a little break, and so it'd be hot up there in the summer. And I remember sometimes we'd just jump into the mountain stream. Well, I have to tell you, those mountain streams were so swift. I mean, it immediately just take you downstream. And boy, you had to be careful because there are a lot of rocks on the bottom. Boy, sometimes you get banged up pretty good. And I remember trying to swim upstream. Boy, what a futile thing to do. And that current would sweep me right down the mountain stream. And I tell you, when you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, He gives you a backbone to stand up to all the things in this world that are out there to distract you and take you away from God. He's there to say, you know what? I don't want to tell too many stories. I won't get done. But I can tell you, when I went into the military, and I grew up in a small town, wonderful church, I was serving the Lord, went to college for a while, and then went into the military. And I thought I was pretty strong. But I am telling you, the currents in the military were really something else. And I found that the best way for me to stand tall was not only to stay in the Word of God and pray, but when we went ashore, I was in the Navy, and when we'd go into port in these other nations, we Christians learned to take at least one or two buddies with us, because there were so many things out there. I mean, in the Philippines, it was unbelievable. The moment you'd walk out of the military gate and cross the river into the city of Longapo, nearly every business establishment was a bar with prostitutes hanging out the door of those bars. And they'd go, "Buy me a drink, Joe. Buy me a drink, Joe." And they'd come over and they'd grab you and try to get you to go into the bar with them and all of that. And we finally found one thing that really changed everything, and that is that we not only went together in twos and threes, but we began to carry our Bible. And when we began to carry our Bible, they'd take one look and then they would leave. Oh, I tell you, some of the guys, filthy mouths, hassle you as soon as they found out you're a Christian, would give you a bad time. And I look back on that and I say, you know what, thank you, Jesus. I had the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it didn't matter what they said to me. There are times when I got great opportunities to witness to them. God gave me the courage to say things. And so I know from experience that there's a lot of winds out there that would blow you every which direction and even some of them that sound pretty good, but they're incorrect. And you need Jesus to be your stabilizer, the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and to give you the courage to stand up to all those things that you face. I can just tell you, I know it works. It works. God is so good and so faithful. I couldn't have made it without Him. There's no question about it. Well, there are people like these marsh reeds. They change their opinions about every few minutes or every hour and are influenced by others around them so much that the power of conviction in their lives is gone. I've even heard people say, well, I can do that. I mean, so-and-so professes to be a Christian, and look what they're doing. They can do that, so I can too. I'm going to tell you this, that there are certain things in the Word of God that tell you what are right and wrong, and you better live by it. But God also deals with us personally about some things. And I have to tell you, for instance, this is going to sound really crazy to you, but I'm going to tell you this. I love sports. And I would buy about every, when baseball season would start out just before spring training, I'd buy every baseball magazine I could find. When football season rolled around, I'd buy about every football magazine I could find. Because who knows, maybe they might have a little different perspective on one of the teams, you know. And when basketball season rolled around, I did the same thing. And one day while I was having devotions, the Lord said to me, Greg, you love sports more than you love me. You love sports more than you love me. Now, most of you in here probably that wouldn't affect you in the least bit. Could care less. But you see, God knows the idols in every one of our lives. Something that's hindering us in our relationship with the Lord. And we're spending more time doing those things than we are spending time with the Lord or going to church or doing things for the kingdom of God. Anything that becomes more important to us than our relationship with Jesus, that's idolatry. An idol. It can even be good things. Well, I need to move on. You remember the Apostle Peter? If you can, you're older, you're pretty old. But maybe you've read about him. And we find that after the resurrection, when they took Jesus to crucify him, you remember how when people around those bonfires said to him, you know, I think you're one of those disciples or followers of Jesus. And of course, he denied him three times. And of course, Jesus said he'd deny him three times. Remember that? And he did. Now, sure, you'd think that Jesus would cast someone like that away. Someone would be refusing to acknowledge him or that they even knew him. After all he'd done in their lives. But after the resurrection, the angel of the Lord said, go tell my disciples and Peter. That's in Mark 16:7. Later, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? John 21:15. And it's the Lord at work on a broken heart. God keeps coming back to us always. Greg, do you love me? Do you really love me? And of course, we all say, oh, yes, of course I love you. And then he points out some things in our life that obviously have become more important. And then we need to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Well, we find in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter. Now remember, Peter, that was the old trembling, shaking reed converted into an iron pillar. God did that in him. He can do that for each and every one of us. So when you feel broken, bruised, or burned out in your spiritual life, God won't step on you. He won't crush you or toss you aside and say you're useless. But if you are willing, He will gently pick you up and say, I love you. Let me help you. And that is what we are celebrating as we take communion today. Christ came to save a sin-sick and messed up world. And how did He do that? Well, He did it by sending His Son, Jesus, to die on that cross so that we might have life and life more abundantly. Praise His name. Amen. And so today, we're celebrating something really special. I have to tell you, I can just imagine Jesus looking down this morning at us, this congregation, and he's saying, you know what, Eddie, I died for you. Josh, I died for you. And go down the list and name everyone. Fred, I died for those people. And I'm so proud. They love me. And they want to celebrate what I've done for them today. Isn't that great? Amen. And so sometimes we have a tendency to take communion. It's like, well, okay, let's pass the plates. You know, let's take the elements. Let's say a little prayer. Let's go home. But this should be one of the most sacred moments in our lives as Christians. We're celebrating what Jesus did for every one of us here today. And sometimes we forget, and we read all what Jesus, how he was beat up and bruised by all the soldiers, and the trials He went through, and how they hung Him on a cross, and all that. But you know what? He rose again on the third day, you know, and we just kind of go through the story, and we're not moved by it at all anymore. It's just a routine. It's just a religious sacrament that we do that has no meaning for us anymore. Oh, that is sad. These are only symbols, but they represent the living Jesus today, who lived, who died, and lives again. Praise His name. Wow. Well, I'm going to ask the three gentlemen to come forward, and I just want to read the scripture here very quickly, and then I will